Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your
greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 26th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. I'm just living the California life. I've played 72 holes of golf in the last 3 days.
Oh my God. Must be rough. Must be tough. Thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
It's hard. It's tough work when it's work.
I don't understand how people have time to play. Yeah, it is work. All right, I understand that. I don't understand how people play golf. I got the Oscars on in the background.
Well, you know what?
I've never heard of any of these. Like, I don't understand how people have time to watch movies. I don't understand how people have time to play golf. But congratulations on your ability.
Let me tell you
golf.
How. They don't have four kids.
Oh, that's true. That's true. How was your event yesterday?
It was great. It's always so fun to meet people that, you know, it's great people. Who knew that there's such so many great people in the world? But, you know,
I would say you would generally lean towards more like hating people, not wanting to meet people.
There's
don't talk to me kind of person. But I guess it sounds like you had the right crowd.
Right crowd. Yeah, we had one of the greatest performances that I've ever seen in my life happen there. A 27 handicap shot 84.
Oh, come on.
And then
this
went
is
on.
The boomerang you had it scheduled last year, your first event back. Yeah. Right, since the pandemic was a year delayed in California. Wait,
a 84, a scintillating net 57 from a 27 in the morning.
Was there all sorts of screaming and hollering about this? I would assume.
Yeah, they. And then he won the shootout. He hit some incredible shots. I've never seen a 27 play like it.
It's always uncomfortable. Unless you have no shame. That's always a little uncomfortable. Like, you're playing your ass off and you're so happy about it, but also you're like, I can't relate, actually. I don't think I've ever gone that low below my handicap, but like, it's got to be an awkward position where like, oh my God, I'm playing out of my mind, but also everyone's going to hate me for this and think I'm a total fraud. Like, that's got to be sort of that's a tight spot, but yeah, interesting. 84. How about that?
Unbelievable. I think that's some
Romo would kill for an 84, I think, in some of these events.
How did his Calcutta go? You know?
Well, yeah. So we were on pins and needles, aggressive WD watch for Saturday Romo, if he's going to WD from the Corn Ferry event to go play as Calcutta, because they were terrible weather in Dallas Friday. I'm getting texts, we're getting intel, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see if he stays in the field of the Corn Ferry event or he goes plays Bentry, because he's not going to make it. They get pushed to second round to Saturday because of weather. He stays in the field. Finishes DFL. I guess his partner at the Calcutta got the club champ. And they said, my sources say, it was an upgrade over Roma. This person could legitimately maybe put a scare into the KFT tour. Whereas Romo is just sort of ceremonial. He finished DFL down in Dallas. I think he was by like six shots, you know. But hey.
Yeah.
He's there a sponsor's exemption. We're talking about the Veritex Bank Open here at the start. So.
I wasn't expecting to talk about Romo, you know, off the top here.
Yeah. Where do you want to go first? You want to go to Zurich? I'm glad to hear your event went well, though. Hopefully.
It was fun. It was a great time. So okay. it was a perfect day. Great weather. Great competition.
Should we start with the LA Open or should we start with the most recent Zurich? What would you like to talk about first?
Let's talk about the LA Open. I'm going to be full disclosure. I didn't watch any. We had our event, so I didn't watch the final round. I've read some articles. I've caught up on kind of what happened. Brooke Henderson, obviously great player. Big win. number 11.
10.
Widener, 10. Widener yep. margin of winningest Canadian player on mm-hmm. a major tour. And man or woman. And I also heard that she was painfully slow.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of a stark contrast to last Saturday night in Hawaii, where Lydia Ko just flew around, right? They played, I think it was like 338. This was mm-hmm. pushing five. Of course, they were in threesomes. You know, this was not twos like in Hawaii. It was windy-ish at times. But yeah, that started... I mean, look, let's talk about Brooke Henderson winning. It was a great win. She went on a birdie run. She chipped in. She started four back, and she played her ass off and beat the best, number one in the world, Jinyoung Ko, playing in that group, and Jessica Korda, who might be the best player in the world this year. I know we're 3-4 months in. Maybe the best player in the world
Nelly
this year.
Nelly might be.
Nelly might be, too. There's an argument for her as well. But, you know, so she chased down and beat the best. But I hate to go against into the slow play, but that was certainly an element of the watch on Saturday night, kind of culminating in the 18th, which is that par three, where Jinyoung Ko, you know, teed up and was hitting, and the ball was gone before Brooke Henderson was near the tee box, maybe not even off the 17th green. So, and you know, allegedly what? Jessica Korda also teed off before Henderson even got there too. So it was, I mean, look, we've established that I have no life. I haven't seen these movies. I can't play golf. I barely play golf. I got nowhere to be Saturday nights, Friday nights often the same thing. It's also a pandemic. I think hopefully soon I'll have a lot more places to be, but I am loving this. It is such a windfall. My kids get down. I love having golf, and I'm talking LPGA, any kind of golf. And of course, having a Lydia Ko, having a Jessica Korda, Jinyoung Ko this week, then of course Brooke came from, like, that helps. Having a Wilshire help, but it is just such a delightful thing to have Friday and Saturday night to, like, well, you know, you go plop down on the couch after a long day. It's such a great thing to have.
Here's the thing, I was on the West Coast, so I didn't get the West Coast bump. Like sure. You usually do. And it's right when you're doing stuff versus if you're on the East Coast or Central, like it's like when you can't do anything. It's night. So it's like you get a watch.
Right.
But this is the thing I think with golf and the way they schedule it. They schedule it for the majority of the season right when everybody's doing stuff. Like we need prime time golf. Like if half the country can watch it, you know, population-wise, way more than half the country can watch it at night when they're done with all their daytime activities. That's a huge win for golf. Golf needs more primetime TV.
Yeah, whether any tour, but certainly LPGA, this has been just so great to have. For me, I am an audience of one. I'm not trying to extrapolate it up, but it's been awesome for me to have sort of waiting for me there at the end of the day, knowing it's going to be there.
Do you want some valuable words of wisdom that I've been told?
That sure.
Allegedly sure. rang true yesterday. Slow play will ruin your day.
Yeah, that's what they say. Are those the marching orders you give to your, you know, event signee players?
Yeah.
Entrance? Okay.
That's why I put somebody on the clock via text yesterday.
No.
Yeah.
Like, was it aggressive or was it more like, haha?
Said, yeah. I heard you're slow. I heard you're being slow, but you're on the clock.
Interesting. Do you ask for all their phone numbers so you can text them, or it's someone you kind of know and had in
that
your
was
phone
somebody
book?
I had somebody in the group's phone number, okay. So I texted them, let them know.
Interesting. Interesting. I might come play one of these and just be deliberately slow. See how much of a leash you'll give me.
You'll get pops.
Or if you're just gonna pop me. Pops. Maybe I'll come and just be a pops, face a play spotter. Just go zipping around in my car, hollering at people. Like I get a little taste of authority, get a little taste of power.
The head pro was being really polite.
Yeah.
He was, and I said, listen, don't be afraid to get in their ass. Tell them, hurry the hell up if they're
okay. Good. Well, but Brooke was
somebody,
not quick.
Somebody needed to get in, you know, tell Brooke to just play faster.
Yep. Jessica Korda was the odds-on favorite, as far as I could tell. And she just said she really struggled in the wind. She went, whatever she went, 63, 64, incredible, and then sort of regressed on Saturday night, final round. She went 64, 65, I should say, 68. But couldn't figure it out in the wind, she said. Hit an amazing shot into 18, stuffed it close, like every both Friday and Saturday. But she needed Henderson to not be able to get up and down. And, you know, Brooke hit a ridiculous shot from that, whatever it is, gully, that ditch left of the 18th green, and got the win.
They're more going of that, to Singapore next week.
I know. What is that? That's not prime time. That's overnight. That's like middle of the night feeding the baby sort of watch. Maybe you'll get a little bit.
Or end of the bar watch. You know, you're at the bar.
Depends on where you are in the time your life.
On.
You know,
time one on go. Watch.
Next, let's go to Zurich, the Zurich Classic. The Australians win it. Land down under. Cam Smith, Mark Leishman beat the South African duo of Lou Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel, Hot Charles as you call him, in a playoff. It was a bit of a pillow fight, gag fest, puke fest, poor play. You know, bogeys on 17 smashed. They made pars in regulation on 18. That's par five. And then, you know, they stick with alternate shot for the first playoff hole, and Louis blocks one into
that
lake.
Was
the middle of the lake. Not the, you know, didn't get
never,
bounced. Didn't,
never a I chance. It's a no doubter. It was like, so whoop. Bad that he had to re-tee.
Re-tee, yeah, that crossed. Yeah.
It was horrible. I tweeted
But I mean, they still had a chance up until like the green. They're still putting to like maybe, I mean, force another hole. It's ridiculous.
I think the tour's put a hex on the UPS players. I believe it now. Since they put the embargo, new UPS sponsored players in 2017. Since in 2017 on, Westy, Louie, lots of close calls, no wins. On PGA Tour sanctioned events.
It's a valid theory. I wonder if it has more to do with those two individuals and where they, how they tend to show up when it matters. I don't know. It could be a hex. I could even see some sort of doping, mechanical sort of chicanery going on here that prevents them. Who knows what's out there? Who knows
who's pulling the strings? There's voodoo and stuff down in New Orleans. Who knows? They might have hired a voodoo guy for the playoff to get Louis to hit that shot. I mean, Leishman and Smith
they were
almost made bogey.
They were
made. Like, yeah, who they knows? Were like, they made par, but that putt would have been way harder if it was from
right. He's right, right. Louis couldn't make anything. I mean, yeah, it was Louis, tough.
It was awful. They gave it away down the stretch.
I thought all of a sudden maybe Richie Werenski and Peter Uihlein were gonna post it early, and I thought even Keegan Bradley. And like true Zurich Classic, like this would really honor the history of the event. If Keegan Bradley and Brendan Steele won, that would be extreme, like TPC or Louisiana type winner.
No,
like Brian Stewart, and that they would just really uphold the tradition of this event if they had won. But we had the Aussie duo.
If it was Werenski, Uihlein, Horschel, Burns, Mitchell, Snedeker, or Bradley Steele, it would have been like, what? How did that happen?
Where are you with this event? I think it has a clear identity now just by the fact that they've made it the only team event, but TPC Louisiana, I don't know, doesn't do a lot for me. I know it's a Pete Dye. I played it at my bachelor party. I've said this story before. I don't remember a whole of it, and it's not because I was under the influence or drunk. I don't remember it.
It's because it wasn't windy. That's the way it was designed to play was forgettable. It was designed to be no wind and forgettable.
There's alligators. Where are you with this event as a whole in terms of it's still in the Catalan zone, formerly the McAtee zone. Jim Nance only goes to New Orleans for Saints games and occasional
Final Four
at the Superdome. He's still not going to this. But the Catalan zone, where are you with this?
Like we talked about on Friday, the best ball is so slow. It's arduous. Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah.
There's no drama at all with it. The alternate shot's great. So sure. Lean into the alternate shot. Alternate shot's such a great format of the game. Everybody in America is so afraid to play it. We play it in our events, and everybody's so hesitant about it. And then after they play it, they're like, that was so fun. That was a great time. I'm really happy we played alternate shot. It's like there's this stigma, and it's the best format. It's like they actually work as a team. The pace of play zips around, even though I kind of thought that last group was slow.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a sloggy. Oh, a little sloggy. Yeah.
We were driving from Ojai. We had a 5-hour drive, and I had it on, and I was watching it in the back seat, and I was like, God, they're on 12. Like it's like, and then like all the other guys that were in the mix were finishing up, and then all the other guys shit the bed completely, you know. But yeah. Like the thing about alternate shot is there's such swings. Like there's so much. Like the potential. The problem with best ball is the potential for a blow up is like never there because it's on a golf course. Mm-hmm. That these guys like a bad round's even par. So it's like, you know, the chance of both the guys being out of it are so low, so small. Like this best ball would be a better format at like Austin, where we saw the final match of Horschel and Scheffler just shitting all over themselves, you know, playing like shit. You know, that would have been a place where best ball would be a little bit more interesting because there's trouble all over the place. But at Louisiana, it's just like kind of like whatever. But alternate shot, it brings it all in. Like that playoff would have sucked if it was best ball, because Hot Charles would have hit it in play. He would have made par. They would have gone back and done it all over again. Best ball sucks.
Okay, I can get, but they can't make it. I saw Jeff Shackelford posted, should they make it alternate shot all the way through, picking off of a no laying up tweet about it just being alternate shot all the way through. I mean, they like sounds good. I don't know that they can do that, maybe. I don't know. It would be great, I guess. But it seems like they'd go to these
rip
guys.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Throw a fit, though. Yeah. Billy Ho would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. No way. You know,
I thought the event was fine the way it was. You know, I make millions of dollars doing things one way. So why are we changing? Why are we changing this? You know, I think the PAC should have a vote on it.
What do you make of it? Kim Smith is going to have a much better career than Mark Leishman when it's all said and done. Is that a fair take? Who are you more bullish on?
You know, they both show up at majors. They both had...
They
know,
show
Kim
up
Smith,
in a certain way. I mean, I get kind of Aussie, I mean, Matt Kuchar vibe from Mark Leishman.
Yeah, he doesn't...
You know, he's got 6 wins. Kuchar's got 9 and players.
Counting this one as a win.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. They count it. Yeah.
I don't think they should count it just because his ass got dragged around by a Cam Smith.
I mean, he obviously shows up at a ton of majors, got in the playoff at St. Andrews, plays the Masters always very well. I don't know. I that's not to say his game is similar. I get sort of a he's just always there kind of thing with like Matt Kuchar. It doesn't maybe win as much for
except for last fall. Then he was nowhere.
He was lost a little bit, right?
Yeah, DFL string.
Oh, yeah.
But he was.
So he got in the 30, right? He didn't get. He got to Atlanta, I believe, right?
I still think he's in the Swedish pancake zone. Him and Rick are kind of bad. Well, I don't count this as an official win, so he's still got 5 okay. wins.
I think Cam Smith's going to win a major. I mean, I know those Cam are hard Smith, to win. But
here's the thing, too, is Cam Smith finished 3rd when he was 21 in a major, which is like a really good sign.
Chambers, yeah. Yeah. And then just decided to go party with his mates, apparently. He was so happy about it and, you know, forgot about golf for a couple of years, and now he's back.
Little bit of Carlos Franco similarities, tendencies.
I got an update from a caddy or a former caddy on the Champions Tour. So, like, the best thing about Carlos Franco is he speaks 5 languages and is, like, conversing in, like, 3 others. And so he might be like the most intelligent player on tour. Like, because he can speak five and can like be conversant in three others. So, all right. Anything else on the I don't know. My Aussie. I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers there. But that's
I can see. I can see the Kuchar thing. You know, he kind of bats it around, poops it.
Takes it the other way. Goes the other way with the. Got opposite field wall power, maybe. All right. This also.
He's not a slap hitter, but he's kind of like Brady Anderson pre-steroids.
I don't think anybody even remembers what Brady Anderson was other than the steroid year. Like, that's his entire identity now. All right. Also a notable thing from this weekend at Zurich, rowdy ass crowd, the light, the candle,
horrible,
all that shit.
Oh, it's awful. All everything was being, it was like they were trying to be as awful as they could and yell everything. That's just so obnoxious.
I saw, Harry Arnett, who's a former executive of Callaway, now runs Municipal, got video of it. I go to his Twitter account of like, you always hear the Baba Booey, but there's one guy in the background just holding, like looking like the biggest oaf, and that you can hear it on the broadcast and you can see his face as he's shouting it. And it was just like, this is the guy who yells it. It's just the perfect image that this was would be the guy that would yell that. I was dying when I saw that video. He caught him, picked him out in the background. Baba Booey. It's like, you always hear it. You never actually put the face with it. And this was perfect. So it was rowdy. I mean, it's coming back. The fans are back. So.
There were so many mashed potatoes. There were so many just... I heard the one guy saying, playoffs.
Yeah, I heard that too.
It was not a good. It was a great day to be on the side of the golf's better without fans.
With no fans, yeah, sure. All right, that's enough on the Zurich. These weeks after the Masters have always been slow for me.
I had one more question.
Okay, go.
Listener's submission from Cody Westerlund. All right. Can you and Brendan please give us a breakdown on Monday's pod on the outlandish number of alligators on the course at the Zurich Classic? At one point, old men in golf course were escorting a mama gator back to the water like a sheepdog herding. And you think about how preposterous it is that a professional sports organization expects a player to perform his job with an alligator 12 feet away like Cameron Champ did on 18 on Saturday. Champ's caddy didn't even go down there to protect him.
Well, I mean, this is what we do every year. This is the Mecca. This is, we take the Mecca of gator content. This is where, social media producers, they flock, they make their pilgrimage to TPC Louisiana, and they are rewarded in kind with alligator content. We had Tripod. I think Tripod may have, bit the dust and gone off to the great alligator heaven in the sky. I don't know. They had John Peterson, shooing one with the rake. It might be a wildlife violation nowadays. I don't know. This is just what happens.
I think Cody makes a great point. Cody covers sports himself, but like, it's ridiculous. They're playing for $7 million and you got to hit a shot with an alligator right next to you.
How are you with that yourself? When you I'm playing in the swamp.
Nowhere near alligators. Alligator, I'm not going in there. I don't go look for balls in the brush.
If you're on a bank and there's like,
I wouldn't go anywhere near it. I'm not getting eaten by an alligator. I'm not getting bit. I'm a Yankee. I'm not.
Neither bit nor eaten. That's good. That
I told the story about the alligator in Humboldt Park in Chicago, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's why we deal with these things. We're going to bring somebody up from the swamp to pay him $20,000 to remove the little baby alligator. I'm not messing around with that. I think it's ridiculous, actually, that when I think about it, when I take a step back, it's absurd that you're playing for $7 million and there's an alligator 2 feet away from you. Like, or 12 feet.
That's a good
like,
point when you think about it.
Like, how could you focus on hitting the shot? Like, I know hitting that shot, I wouldn't be focused on the shot. Well, I'd be focused on hitting the ball as quickly as I possibly could and getting out of the way of the alligator.
Well, presumably, if you're at this professional sporting event with thousands of people around, presumably security forces with firearms and things, you know, if the gator gets you, he's not going to get very far before help runs in.
I don't know. How many bullets?
You got to have a little peace of mind.
How many bullets do you think you need to put in a gator to put him down?
Like, I don't know. These are definitely not subject matter.
Do you think the security guard... Here's the other thing. Do you think the security guard that's getting paid like $10 an hour is going to jump in and try and save you from the gator? No.
You know, some New Orleans police officers. Or the guy yelling Baba Booey probably wrestles gators for a living on the side. You know, half these yahoos screaming mashed potatoes would gladly roll around in the swamp with it, I would think. I don't know. But I'm saying... I think you're all right playing a professional event. I know, it is an interesting point now that you say about it. $7 million, why do they got to play with this nerviness? When I play at a course that has gators and my ball's on the bank, like I'm not crazy about it. I think it's going to come out of the water and just take me. I don't like doing that.
Who wants to get bit by a gator?
No one. All right. Anything else on the Zurich? They had walk-up music. It's great to have that back. We'll do more of that next year. I apologize that I didn't do any more.
I had a busy week. I had a bunch of submissions too. It would have been easy, but it's hard to cut the audio and do.
You're
the
whole too worried.
Song
you got
dance.
You got handicap issues going on. Your gatekeeping duties on handicaps at your events. You got scandals popping off left and right. You got other things on your mind. All right. Where else do we want to go? KFT. We've given Tony Romo his just desserts. Tyson Alexander wins.
Big Tyson.
The Veritex Bank Championship. We had an emailer, Tim McKenney, who played or was his roommate in college, said Tyson, I think he's been on tour a good amount now, maybe a decade or so. I think his first win. His caddy was Will Strickler, who made it to the tour and gave it up, but is in town and just took the bag for the week. So congrats to Tyson Alexander, one of those kind of, I don't know, super talented college kids. It took a while and, you know, hard work pays off with a professional win on the KFT tour. Also saw Taylor Pendrith is crossed the certain threshold that he will definitely be getting his card. So he's been out here since, I want to say, 2014. He turned pro. Another Canadian. You know,
Had you heard that Tyson's dad's buddy, Alexander? Did you know that?
You sure?
Allegedly.
I was trying to think of another Alexander. I couldn't come up with it off the top of my head.
Joe Alexander from West Virginia.
Yeah. I was thinking of the senator from Tennessee, Lamar Alexander. I couldn't come up with a good one, though. All right. So, yeah, congrats to Tyson Alexander.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
Tyson Alexander, 6'1", 180.
Okay. Where is this going?
If you're named Tyson, I think you got to be a big guy. And I think he's right on the verge of being too small to be named Tyson.
6'1", what was it?
180. I think you got to be at least 6'3 to be named Tyson.
I got to think of some Tysons. Tyson Chandler obviously would qualify as a big boy. I'm sure there's some runt Tyson, named Tyson out there.
I just think
it's a
name that's got to accompany an authoritative size.
It connotes a big boy. Okay. That's interesting. All right. 6'1", 180 does not qualify as big in my book.
No.
All right. Maybe he'll have to change his name then if he wants to make it, you know, past, you know, into the FedEx Cup and out of Corn Ferryville. All right. So that's the Veritex Bank Championship.
Do you know what his grandfather was named?
No.
Skip.
Oh.
You know, he played on two Ryder Cup teams.
Okay. Who's the best Skip of all time? Skip Kendall? Is he the best golfing Skip?
Well, listen to this. Skip Alexander, this is per the PGA Tour media guide here, okay, played on the 49-51 Ryder Cup team.
Yeah.
He won three times on tour, and his career was cut short due to a plane crash where he was the only survivor.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
It's pretty
wild. That's terrible. Yeah, that's terrible. All right, so congrats to Tyson Alexander. Big win. I don't know. That course sounded like, you know, super easy. And Romo went 76, 77 or whatever. We don't need to drive by Tony Romo again. Although
can I read you something on the PGA Tour website?
Yeah, I love it. This is our podcast. You just read the tour website.
They have all these summaries now of like all their years of their career. It's all driven so that they rank higher in SEO. So some other, you know, this is why they do this, so they get the Google traffic.
Yeah, they got you got to fill up the daily.
This might be a bot writing this, you know?
Yeah, probably.
So 2018 season, this is a recap of the Argentinian Open. He kept his remarkable streak of consistency alive, earning his fifth top 10 of the season while making the cut in all 15 tournaments he played. Is that really remarkably consistent?
Five top tens?
Five top tens in 15 events.
He made the cut in everyone, is that right?
On the Latin American tour?
It's like consistent.
Remarkably consistent.
Lose the adverb then. Fine. Get rid of it.
Remarkably, this is the bot writing. This has to be the bot.
It seems a little too verbose for the bot. It seems a little too eloquent for the bot. I don't know if the bot has that kind of skill.
Remarkable streak of consistency would be like he finished in the top 10, at a minimum 10 of the 15 events, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds right. Okay. Fine. Keep reading that tour website. Tell me what else you find. All right.
I learned some stuff about Tyson Alexander.
Skip.
I didn't know about Skip. I knew about Buddy.
Yeah. We all know about Buddy.
If he hits it big, Skip could kind of become like Frank Strafacci, I think.
Potentially. All right. On the European Tour, the Gran Canaria Lopesan Open, Garrick Higo wins. It's a second win. Garrick Higo. He's from South Africa. Might be coming for that Louis Charles, you know, throne. He went to UNLV, turned pro as a sophomore year. He's now won twice on the European Tour. He's probably going to make the PGA. Probably be in the top 100. He won the Portugal Open last fall, which is kind of like a joint challenge tour, European Tour event. And now he wins in Gran Canaria. Like, I mean, this was a par 70, 6,700-yard course. They were just lighting it up. I mean, we had Maximilian Kiefer shot the round of the day, 62 on Sunday. But Higo went 65, 64, 63, 63 to get to, I think, 25 under is what he won.
I love this leaderboard. You got Maximilian. You got Higo. You got great names on top. Then you got Pisspear. Dick Bland.
Yeah.
That's great.
Did you watch a lot of this, the Gran Canaria Open?
No, I didn't watch any of it.
You say they were putting pebbles and rocks in the drainage curbs so that the ball would stop instead of just going 200 yards down the hill. So we saw one of them do it. I forget who did it.
Maybe that's a way we could slow down. You know, golf architects could get more creative. You know, since it's their fault that all the players are hitting it so far, they could start putting rocks in the fairways that reject balls back like 30 yards sometimes. Sometimes it hits one spot, shoots forward. Sometimes it shoots it right, left. You know,
like some of these break walls you get at lakes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. All right. That may be what we do to combat the distance. I have nothing else on the European Tour. Garrick Higo, though. He might be a guy. He might be one of my guys I'm going to start riding like a George Katsia type way. 21. Yeah. When we go to PGA, he's there. I may be following Higo for a round or two.
Do you think he's going to be there?
That sounded like he was going to get in the top 100. If you're in the top 100, you get in. So,
have you consulted Nosferatu?
I have not. I have not. Let's see. But he's won twice since August, since September. So.
This is good radio.
Yeah. All right. That's it. That does it for results. Oh, if you want to do college?
Oh, Higo 65. He might be playing WGC soon.
There you go.
He's almost into the cash grab.
Yep. All right, other results.
Danny Von Tonder is going to be there, too.
Should we use our credential to ask him why he does IE instead of Y?
Yeah.
Go bother him. It's like, I'd like to request Danny Von Tonder for an interview. They bring him out. They talk to him about his name. That might go well. All right. Elsewhere, Vandy wins the men's SEC championship. I think that was at Sea Island. They beat Arkansas by a shot. So Brentley Romine was chronicling it. The kid from Arkansas lipped out and tried to do a baton boy routine, and he dropped it right in the middle of the green. And that's the difference between college and the pros. I mean, yep. PGA Tour University has a seminar. It's a seminar on baton twirling where you catch it. And it's taught by Billy, I would say, maybe.
I forgot who captured it from PGA Tour Live, but I loved the video of Billy balancing his putter by his grip upright on his hand. It's incredible.
While his partner was putting out, he's just always working, always improving himself every minute.
That's what a good baton boy does. Good drum major.
The PGA Club Professional, PGA Professional Championship down at Port St. Lucie. Omar coming. Omar Uresti is T2. He's 4 under. We're going to see his ass at Kiowa. Well, I might be following him all 4 or all 2 at Kiowa. Just round by round recaps. I'm going to be a bot writing about Omar Uresti at Kiowa.
This is the event where they're just screwing over all the Northern pros, making them play right out of spring. You know, none of them have even played.
Bermuda.
Yeah.
Not on their grasses. Yeah. It's on the Wanamaker and Ryder Cup course.
The Dumpy Fazios at PGA Golf Club. No offense. I didn't mean to drive by the place that so many fine PGA professionals retire at, but.
Okay. All right. Frank Benzel Jr. is your leader. That will be on TV, I think, Monday night on Golf Channel, 4 to 7. If you want to watch a little PGA Professional National, you know, a lot of names you're familiar with. Alex Beach, I see Danny Balin was in there. Ben Kern, that Husky boy from Texas who stole our hearts and minds at Bellerive. So Rod Perry, of course, he's T6.
If you want somebody to root for,
Rod the Brits, of course. What?
Chicago area pro, not a native, an Aussie native, Travis Johns, one of the all time storytellers. He was a phenom grown up in Australia, like with the likes of Adam Scott and Badley. He's a teaching pro at Medina, okay. But all time storyteller. He's T34.
Okay. All right. We'll keep an eye on him, maybe, Monday night. Elsewhere, I think that's it on results. Oh, women's four ball going on. USGA, I think, first USGA championship of the year, I believe. That's going on at Merido. That will continue into this week. I asked the question, like, why are they playing this as all the conference championships are going on, NCAA is coming up next. And I was told, Brentley told me, like, they do it on purpose.
Yes, it's not supposed to be a college event.
Yeah, I think the leaders are, like, 13 and 14 years old, a girl from Ohio and Texas, the team, because they didn't want, like, college teammates just joining up and beating the crap out of everybody.
Well, this event was replaced the state team event, which was mostly like a mid-am event, so this was not intended. They've had some college winners, but especially last year, but yeah, so
they, because I guess the men's also is usually up right against the NCAA's same time as that too. They just don't want, so keep an eye on that. That's going on at Merido. All right, news. Tiger resurfaces, posts a picture, first authorized picture. I guess semi-authorized. I don't think we've seen anything else. But standing out there on his course, taken, you know, with a toaster. I don't know what kind of camera took this picture. It looked like it, yeah. It's just some other appliance captured this image.
The catnip of him out watching Charlie play, which aggregation station.
He looked a lot better than I ever thought. He's in a walking boot, but it was good to see a picture of him. It just in general. I guess he's building some new course in his backyard too. He said, "What he's coming along faster than his course, or the course is coming along faster than he is." I forget what the caption was, but a lot of
redoing
work
it, ripping it up, redoing it.
I wonder who he got out there to do that.
He's got
restoration. He has wasn't it a former guy at Augusta that takes care of the turf or something like that?
Yeah, he's got a great superintendent that just takes care of his course. It's not like his course. It's like
want to share, but go ahead. All right,
I'll just leave it at that.
Don't spill the beans. Yeah, you don't need to be out there throwing catnip out for everybody.
You know, some swamp scoop maybe in the future. Yeah.
And then last but not least, I think we should start a new segment for news. This Week in Pip. What was the thirstiest Pip attempt? I mean, because it's flowing out there. Yeah, am I nominee for this Week in Kepka? You think that's it?
Maybe.
I mean, he chummed the waters. And he's probably going to get the biggest payoff. But mine is JT is really very transparent.
This.
Very transparent what
videos.
He's going for. He did something with calves and tagged in Phil, thinking Phil would then bite on that. He did something the day he wore a TB12 hat, tagged in Tom Brady. It's the only hat I had. And of course, Brady regrams it, you know, and there goes the impressions because Tom Brady's a very popular athlete. It seems like he's very thirstily going for it. He's telling just kind of wandering, rambling stories about playing Zurich that never really went anywhere. It seems like JT is noticeably going for it. He's my first thirst award for This Week in Pip. New segment here.
The thirst. So. I like who's thirsty.
There are a lot of options. A lot of options this week. Billy Ho.
Thirst bucket of the week.
They want
JT,
that pip
the thirst
cash.
Bucket of the week.
Ricky's
His, it
doing
just
more.
Comes off so inauthentic.
Well, he's clearly, he tags in Tom Brady. He tags in Phil. It's just clearly what he's going for. So, all right, that's all I got. It's a good little Monday episode. We talked a lot about it, random stuff. You have anything else you want to say before we sign off?
Nothing else.
This was brought to you by BixbyCoffee.com. Please go subscribe to the Shotgun Star.
Miles Bixby boy won the closest to the pin.
Oh, he did?
He won the Imperial closest to the pin. He won a $50 Imperial gift card. Stuck it to like 7 feet.
Whoa. Why didn't you lead with this?
Yeah.
Congrats to Miles. Big supporter of the podcast. Friend of the program. So go to BixbyCoffee.com.
It's the one thing the 27 didn't win.
How do you get a 27? I mean, I guess I don't know. I guess it's just whatever. All right.
How does the 27 shoot an 84? He made like a big number too. It's like closer to 79 than 84 when you.
Oh God. Jeez. All right. Go to BixbyCoffee.com. Support the Shotgun Start Blend. Westy Island Blends are light roast. They keep the podcast running, literally. All right. Everyone enjoy your Mondays. We'll be back Wednesday. What's the event this week? What do we have? I don't even know where we're going.
Wells Fargo?
I think. No, that's next week. Oh, Valspar. New Valspar spot.
Oh, Valspar. So,
all right. Everyone enjoy your Mondays. We'll be back with you on Wednesday.